Robbie Romeiser here. I'm excited about today's program, so excited, in fact, that I've included a bonus material for you after the on-air portion of Career Callings finishes playing. I trust you will be blessed, as I have been, by today's featured guest.
You know what the scariest thing is? To not know your place in this world. To not know why you're here. It's just an awful feeling.
Welcome to another edition of Career Callings. I'm your host, Robbie Romeiser. We're at Career Callings. We help people avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision by helping them find, prepare for, and pursue the work God has created them to do. You can join us today by phone, text, or email. Phone or text at 864-381-7649. That's 864-381-7649. Or by email at robbie@careercallings.net. That's R-O-B-B-I-E at careercallings.net. Now, if you happen to be a tech-oriented person, you're probably from time to time going to be looking for a job in that field, and you never know when you're going to need some help and some wise counsel from someone who's got connections in that field. Well, today's guest has such connections. Matter of fact, I'm going to be talking to the co-founder and managing partner of The Hiring Group, and The Hiring Group is a premier technical staffing firm headquartered in the Atlanta area with offices here in the upstate, and the team at The Hiring Group provides technical staffing via contract, contract to hire, direct placement, and or employer of record services to companies of all sizes. And yes, I have one of the founders and the managing partner, Brooks Israel. He is with me on the program today. Brooks, welcome to the Career Callings Radio Show.
Thank you very much for having me today, Robbie. I really appreciate your time.
Man, I'm glad to have you on the phone. How's life treating you today?
It's been a great day at the Hiring Group. We've had a couple of interview requests from our customers, which is always a positive thing. We're helping people find a new role and new position in client sites here in the upstate. So that's always positive.
Yeah, man, that sounds like a good, busy day, and we all need good, busy days in our businesses, no doubt about that. Well, I just kind of gave a one- or two-sentence introduction to you, so I wanted to see if you could maybe fill in a few blanks there, tell me a little bit more about who Brooks Israel is, and tell us a little bit more about The Hiring Group.
Yes, sir. I'm 40 years old. I live in Simpsonville, right behind Southside Christian. I've got two boys, 11 and 7, with my wife, Julie. And they, my sons go to Southside Christian, sixth grade and third grade, and actually second grade. And two and a half years ago, roughly, I left my former employer. There was an exercise that this company did, and it was called "What's Your Life's Purpose?" And you combine "What's Your Life's Purpose?" that event with the work-life balance that was completely out of whack. Some changes that this company had made to compensation, all these things created a perfect storm for me to go out on my own and start The Hiring Group with my business partner, Chris Yarrow. And it has been an amazing adventure, something that I never realized how difficult it is to go out on your own to start a business, but it's been more rewarding than I ever expected. And so I'm proud that we're growing The Hiring Group, the company, the brand, the image, reputation here in the upstate as well as down in Atlanta. And we're really just excited to make things different out there in the staffing world. I've been in the industry for about 13, 14 years, staffing and recruiting. So I've seen it all, and the goods and the bad. But I love what I do every single day I go to work. I'm very excited to get there and put positive energy into the world.
Now, you kind of gave us a little bit of insight into how you got from where you were in the past to where you are today, but kind of give us a little bit more of the twists and turns that you've kind of encountered during your career path to where you are today at the hiring group. Tell us, you mentioned to me a little while ago, for example, where you graduated from and such. Kind of tell us what's happened since from that time you graduated to where you are today.
Yeah, so in 2001, I graduated from the Citadel. They had an evening program. They had a Master's of Business Administration, an MBA that I completed. Once I completed that, I moved up here to the Greenville area. My wife, Julie Israel, she's from here, and we decided that Greenville was going to be our home. So when we moved up here, it was right around 9/11 timeframe, and it was tough to find a job then. I had an interview set up that day, and they called and canceled, and I wasn't able to secure another interview until December. The job that I was interviewing for, they made an offer, and I accepted immediately. I stayed there for a little while. Great people that I worked with. I still have a lot of connections in there. But the company was making some decisions that were going to affect me. And at that time, I didn't have really what I would call the courage to discuss what was bothering me and how I could fix it. And so I made a change. It was a completely different industry. It was in sales and recruiting. And I moved to this new company, and I thought this company was going to be, you know, where I retired. And I love the people that work there as well. But over time, you know, things change. Companies make decisions that impact you. And I kind of limited myself and my upper mobility in this company because I wasn't willing to move or travel. And so as I found myself in a similar situation where things around me were negatively affecting how I felt emotionally, you know, I decided to have conversations about these things instead of leaving like I did the first time. And as we went through these conversations, you know, things weren't going to change. And so I decided to make a big change, take a bigger risk. My work-life balance was totally out of whack at the time. I was missing baseball games that my sons were getting game balls. You know, I wasn't able to go to doctor's appointments when I wanted to be there. And they did this exercise. It was, what's your life's purpose? And it was during that exercise that I realized that I could not live my life's purpose and what I was passionate about with that company. And so I went home one day and I talked to my wife and I said, hey, Julie, I'd like to go start a company. At that time, I didn't know what it was going to be called. And she believed in me and she said, let's do this. So we started the hiring group, and actually I have to give my wife credit. She actually helped name the hiring group. So thank you for that, honey. And, and from there, it's been awesome. We were growing the company in the same industry where I can live, you know, my life's purpose.
Well, I tell you, there's so many nuggets of wisdom I want to pull from all that. But the first thing I want to do is kind of clarify, you know, what would you say at the time you decided to make that move and start your own company? What were you defining your life purpose as at that time?
Honestly, I don't think I knew what it was, but I knew it had something to do with my work-life balance and being a dad.
Mm-hmm.
Growing up, you know, my parents were divorced when I was young. And so I wanted to be an incredible father.
Sure. I totally know what you're saying. You know, I'm not much older than you. I'm 44. My parents divorced when I was 6. And one of the biggest things I wanted to do when I had my own children was make sure that I was an awesome dad. And not to say anything bad about my dad. He was great. He's great as best you can be when you're not in the home. But it's a different thing. And I'm sure you and I both know that. And what I'm hearing you say is you wanted to find a position, you wanted to find a vocation that would enable you to facilitate what you knew you were supposed to do as a husband and father, and that's be there and be involved and have an impact on your family. And that is extremely respectable and wonderful, and my hat's off to you that you took the bold moves to be able to make that happen. And and I believe the Lord's, based on what you've told me so far, Lord's blessed you in that decision so that you could be there for them. And
yes, sir.
And hats off to your wife for a good marketing campaign with the name. And
she did fantastic.
Yeah, and the irony, you know, it's so funny, the irony of the fact that you, the way you got to where you are is because the company you were at had a work-life balance workshop that showed you that they weren't helping you achieve that. And I guess in one respect, you ought to thank them for bringing that to the forefront. And that's, you know, sometimes when things don't go the way we want them to go, we actually have the people who were hurting us to thank for that, I guess.
It is crazy, and that is very true. When you're in the misery, it doesn't feel very good. But in hindsight, all the things that were happening led to the courage to go do it. So I am very thankful of that. So you're correct.
I tell you, the best job move my mother ever went through was after the company she had worked for over 20 years laid her off for financial reasons. She was, it wasn't her fault. She was a fantastic worker, but they laid her off. She was scared to death. Within 2 or 3 months at most, if that long, she was at the job that she got a job at a place that she loved the most of all of her jobs in her life and retired from that job. And so the nugget of wisdom I want to gather from your experience, Brooks, is that sometimes we're in a workplace situation that doesn't make any sense, and we're wondering why the Lord's letting us go through that. Well, the reason might be so that we can get to where He does want us to be. Just like Joseph had to go through slavery and imprisonment before he became the second in command of Egypt, sometimes we have to go through the desert, so to speak, before He plants us where He wants us to be. So thank you for sharing your story there. And Brooks, we'll come back with some more questions for you after we get back from the break. Go get your bunny slippers on, folks, and get your bonbons ready for the second edition or the second segment of today's Career Callings Radio Show with Brooks Israel. I opened the digital doors of careercallings.net in 2014. I did the same with my daily devotional site, todaysquotefromgod.com, in 2012. Since day one, I've hosted both of my websites with award-winning HostGator. HostGator raises the bar for speed, reliability, support, and value. If you need a place to host your new or existing website, go to careercallings.net/resources to get 20% off new web hosting plans as a Career Callings listener. That's careercallings.net/resources. The Romeiser family became Amazon Prime members years ago. With fast free shipping, exclusive access to movies and TV shows, ad-free music, unlimited photo storage, and free Kindle books, it was a no-brainer. To give Amazon Prime a free test drive for your family, go to careercallings.net/resources. That's careercallings.net/resources.
Westgate Christian School is known for offering an excellent and affordable Christ-centered education. From K-3 through 12th grade, we engage our students in the classroom and we challenge them on the playing field with competitive sports like soccer, volleyball, basketball, and golf. At Westgate Christian, we know there's a time to learn and a time to play. Call 576-4953 and come take a tour. Meet our staff online at wbcs.org. Call 576-4953 today for more information.
Let me tell you about something my family did several years ago. We dropped our health coverage and joined Samaritan Ministries, a Christian medical needs sharing ministry that's been around since 1994. Joining Samaritan Ministries not only saved my family hundreds of dollars per month, it also helped us stop paying insurance premiums that were funding all kinds of unbiblical practices that we don't support. Every month, the more than 49,000 households of Samaritan Ministries share more than $14 million in medical needs under a program that satisfies the Affordable Care Act's requirement that you have insurance or pay a penalty tax. The program also gives you total control over which doctors you see. The Romeiser family has found a health care home at Samaritan Ministries, and we'd like to invite you to join us. To learn more about Samaritan Ministries and if it's right for you, go to SamaritanMinistries.org. That's SamaritanMinistries.org. And if you choose to apply, be sure to support Career Callings by letting them know that Robbie Romeiser referred you. We all have to learn how to pursue God's calling, and that learning requires tons and tons of reading. But if you're like me, life is so busy that it's hard to find time to read. That's why I'm so excited to tell you about Audible. Audible has over 180,000 audiobooks to help you listen and learn on the go. Audible has made me so much more productive, enabling me to learn while I drive, exercise, or work around the house. I know Audible can do the same for you, and that's why I've teamed up with Audible to give my listeners a free audiobook to see if audiobook learning is right for you. Go to audibletrial.com/careercallings and claim your free audiobook today. That's audibletrial.com/careercallings. audibletrial.com/careercallings.
This is Christian Talk 660.
But our lives aren't just measured in years. They're measured in the lives of people we touch around us.
This feels like my calling and my purpose in life. There's something different about this journey that's more heart connected.
Purpose is more than just your core of your own self. It's beyond your own identity. Everybody ultimately wants to serve other people.
You can have everything in life you want. You'll just help enough other people get what they want.
And that little bit of sadness in the mornings you spoke of, perhaps you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Welcome back to Career Callings for segment number two with Brooks Israel. You can join us today by phone, text, or email at 864-381-7649. That's 864-381-7649, or by email at robbie@careercallings.net. What would you say is your worst career failure?
Without getting into too much of the details, just because it's very personal, it actually has to do with when I started the hiring group. They say don't hire family, and I can attest to that statement. It's true. At the end of the day, I hope that the family members that I hired when I first started the hiring group, I hope that where I'm at with them today, can be mended. And I learned a lot about, it was my mistake. I should have never hired my family members. And I can give you more information on what I learned. But my biggest career mistake is not listening to what people say, don't hire family. And so I have to live with that pain still today. And I hope one day, I hope my family members will forgive me for that mistake.
And you said that you had a couple lessons that you wanted to share from that, other than the one you said there, don't hire family members. What particular lessons were you referring to when you said that?
So think about when you see a coach, and that coach is a dad out on a baseball field. More than likely, if you're anything like me, you're probably harder on your son than you are on the other kids. And so what I learned is, when I was over my family members, I was focusing on areas for improvement versus trying to build that momentum and that trust and building up their strengths and their positive attributes in order to help them tackle their areas for improvement. When you come into a relationship and all you're trying to do is nitpick things that someone needs to improve on, and you're not there to build their confidence up and help them, feel good about themselves, you're going to lose. You're going to lose that person. They're not going to trust you. You're going to hurt their feelings. And I feel like I might have done that and not meaning to do it. And I think sometimes, because you're family, you tend to be a little bit more honest early than maybe you should. And I think that's what I've learned, and that's what I've taken from, that mistake. Is whenever I bring in an employee now to my team, I want to grow that trust and build their confidence up, not to tell them how they need to change and get better, but to help them see how they can. And I think it takes time before you can go down that path, and that's the biggest thing that I learned.
I've heard a statistic for years that 70% of people who leave their jobs voluntarily do so because they don't feel valued. And what you just shared would apply not only to family members that someone may or may not choose to hire, but anybody else that they might hire. Or if you don't own your own company, maybe you're in management and you're working with other people around you. What Brooks just said is so true. Certainly people need to have sometimes some correction, but the real focus when we lead people is to build them up and enable them to be better at what they're doing for both their benefit and the benefit of the company. And as the late Robert Townsend said in his book, Up the Organization, former head of Avis Rent-A-Car, you can't motivate people. All you can do is create an environment where they will motivate themselves. And that's something we all need to work on. Brooks, what would you say is the number one personal habit that you consistently adhere to that drives your career success?
I think you have to care. And when you're having a conversation with somebody at the grocery store in the line, there are people that just look through you and they're not really there, you know, and I'm the guy that talks to you in the elevator. You know, maybe I should have been a greeter at a store. But I just feel like you have an opportunity to really listen and really care. And when you don't, you miss out on a lot of life. And so I would say that is one personal habit that I consistently adhere to.
You ever read the book How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie?
I have. It's been about 13 years, okay. But that was almost a prerequisite for the previous company that I worked for.
Yep. And since you read it, you know what I'm about to say. Basically, the entire gist of the book is invest in other people by showing interest in them. I mean, there's lots more detail in the book than that, obviously. But based on what I can tell from your conversation, you're probably naturally wired to care about other people. There's a lot of folks listening right now that maybe don't have quite that same personality trait. But I'm here to tell you, and also backed up by the late Dale Carnegie's book, that it's a habit you absolutely can develop to get into the habit of asking other people about themselves and how you can invest in them or help them along their path. So even if you're not naturally wired like Brooks to be a people person, doesn't mean you can't develop the habit. And as many, many people like to say, from a vocational standpoint, your net worth is your net work. And of course, that's the financial side of people. Of course, we're as Christians much more, just as much needing to invest in the spiritual side of people. But, you know, you ought to develop a habit of asking other folks about them, their needs, and help them to build that network. Very good, very good. Now, a lot of our listeners are business owners, or they want to be at some point in the near future. So in 60 seconds or so, what three things would you tell a new startup business owner to do in order to be successful?
I probably have four out of three. I don't know if that's okay, but
absolutely,
I would say have a business partner who's unlike you. Someone who's got different strengths than you. You have to be transparent with them, and you can't question the trust that you have with that individual. The second thing I would say is you should expect 2 to 3 years of financial strain. The results are not going to be as quick as you'd like them to, so be prepared for that. And you got to hire great people, you got to trust them, and you got to coach them to live the company values that you set up. And then the last one, and maybe the most important for me, is you can't ever give up, and you've got to always try to maintain a positive mentality. When you're small and you're trying to start up and you have positive momentum and then something bad happens, it's easy to get down. And so you just got to keep picking yourself up over and over and over and know that you signed up for this and that you can do it. Like running a marathon.
Yep, it's a marathon, not a sprint, no doubt about that. Now, if you were sitting in a room of high school seniors, what would be the best one piece of career advice you could give them as they prepare to go out into the real world?
I would say participate in your own success and survival. You know, life is competitive and someone's always out there to try and beat you. And don't be the person that's going to expect somebody else to take care of it for you. If you're not willing to roll up your sleeves and do it, then you don't know hard work. And if you have the mentality that nothing is beneath you, then you will earn the respect from everyone around you. And I can't say that enough. There's a lot of kids out there these days that their parents do it for them, or they pave this inroad for them. But the ones that are going to be the most successful and the leaders in the future are going to be the ones that, like I said, participate in their own success and survival on their own because they believe in themselves and because they know they can.
That is great advice, great advice. Now, how about a book? If you could recommend just one book, other than the Bible, we've established on this show that the Bible is the most important book anybody can read. But if you, outside of the Bible, if you could recommend just one book for our listeners to read, what would it be and why?
I'm a big time fan of the book Standout. It's a strength assessment by Marcus Buckingham. Ironically, one Christmas, my mother-in-law, Janice Johnson, gave it to me, and it sat on my desk side, table for who knows, maybe a year. And then one day I picked it up and it literally changed my way of thinking and the way I like to work with the people around me. And once I figured that out, every single person that I hired at my former employer that worked for me and every person that works with our business now at the hiring group, we have them read this book and take this assessment because it helps them learn about themselves and what their strengths are, but it also helps you realize how you can work with other people with different strengths. So for me, this book has made, from a business perspective, the most impact on me personally. As a side note, just for the people that are out there listening that might be interested in sales, one of the books that I would recommend there is a book by Chris Lytle, and it's called The Accidental Salesperson. And I won't give you all the details on that one, but that one definitely is a very impactful book as well.
The Accidental Salesperson. I like the title of that. I'm sure a lot of people have read that book just to see what the title meant.
Exactly.
But yeah, I'll link to both of those books at careercallings.net so that people can grab a copy of that and benefit from that wisdom. Last question, Master Brooks, what is the best way people can connect with you? Because I know there are going to be a lot of folks that would like to reach out to you after hearing your wisdom here on the show. And what's the best way they can do that?
Well, Robbie, I want to thank you for your time and for having me today, first of all. And I want to tell my team over at the Hiring Group, specifically my business partner that I love working with you guys. Definitely thankful to my wife and for her believing in me and willingness to take this journey with me. As far as contact information, there's really a couple of things that I throw out there. We do a motivational email like every Monday and Friday. And if you'd be interested in seeing what that has to offer, it's a gentleman named Brian Baker that puts that out for us. And if you email me at info@thehiringgroup.com, thehiringgroup.com, I can get you connected on that. And then if you personally want to reach out to me, my email address is bisrael@thehiringgroup.com. You can always call our main number. Our headquarters number is 770-545-6262.
Fantastic. And as always, I will make those links available and those contact pieces of information available at careercallings.net. Brooks Israel, thanks for joining us today on the Career Callings Radio Show, sir.
Again, thank you for having me, Robbie.
Absolutely. And that wraps up another edition of Career Callings. And you can get a copy of today's broadcast plus the bonus material that we have available only to our podcast listeners at careercallings.net/radio or careercallings.net, the homepage where you can link down at the bottom of the homepage to today's broadcast. Or, of course, you can subscribe via iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Spreaker, or TuneIn Radio through those podcast platforms. Remember, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. God bless. We all have to learn how to pursue God's calling, and that learning requires tons and tons of reading. But if you're like me, life is so busy that it's hard to find time to read. That's why I'm so excited to tell you about Audible. Audible has over 180,000 audiobooks to help you listen and learn on the go. Audible has made me so much more productive, enabling me to learn while I drive, exercise, or work around the house. I know Audible can do the same for you, and that's why I've teamed up with Audible to give my listeners a free audiobook to see if audiobook learning is right for you. Go to audibletrial.com/careercallings and claim your free audiobook today. That's audibletrial.com/careercallings, audibletrial.com/careercallings. Now, does your partner reside in Atlanta, Brooks, since you're here in the upstate, or what's the connection with Atlanta?
So it's a long story, and it has some legal things that I can't necessarily discuss, but when you leave a company, you've signed an agreement with that company, and we had to form our business outside of a certain radius of the upstate. So for 18 months, my business partner and I lived in Atlanta away from our families, started the hiring group, and once we had met the agreement that we made with our former employer, we were really, really excited about moving home and being with our family. He has a daughter and a son, and he's married, and so it was very rewarding to make it through that process in order for us to be able to open up our second office here in Greenville. So he does live in Simpsonville also with his family.
I tell you what, you don't talk to people every day who have to actually leave their family for that long just to start a business. Of course, I'm sure you're up here on weekends and stuff, but still, that's tough. My hat's off to you for being willing to do that, to follow your vocational dream there. Tell me about your biggest career success and what made it so successful.
Well, I would hope to think that where I am today would be my biggest career success. So starting the hiring group, without a doubt, with my business partner, Chris Yarrow, it's been so much more than I ever expected to be able to build a company, a brand, an image, and an environment that is centered around our six values. We have six primary values: every client, every time, uplifting and motivating, integrity, passion, ownership, and a pay it forward mentality. And to be able to grow that so that when people come to work every day, that they're happy, that they are telling their family and friends when they go home for Thanksgiving and Christmas how much they love working for us, it feels amazing. Our company, like I said, we want people to be proud of working here. And it starts with your day-to-day environment. You have to have an environment where things are positive. And there's a Cherokee parable about the battle of two wolves that I'm always talking about. And the parable goes something like this. There's an old Cherokee, and he's sitting with his grandson, and he's talking about life. And he says, "There's a fight going inside me," he says to the boy. "It's a terrible fight, and it's between two wolves. One's evil, anger, envy, sorrow, regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, inferiority, lies, false pride, superiority, self-doubt, and ego. The other one is good. He is joy, peace, love, hope, serenity, humility, kindness, benevolence, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith. The same fight is going on inside you and inside of every other person, too." And the grandson thought about it for a minute, and then he asked his grandfather, "Which wolf will win?" And the old chief simply replies, "The one you feed." And so what I see in our company is we want to make sure that we're feeding the good wolf. When we hear people talking about things that, you know, are negative, it starts to spiral. Too many people in this world do that every single day, at home, at work, everywhere. And the hiring group, you know, our goal is to change this inefficient mentality, and it feels good to go to work every day and center our focus and the positive momentum around our core values and just a positive, happy environment. Seems simple, but it's crazy how it can spiral out of whack so quickly.
Absolutely. It sounds like you're doing what we talked about, trying to create an environment where people can thrive and get out of their way so that they can motivate themselves. And, you know, if you're an employee, maybe you're not an employer like Brooks, but if you're an employee and you're looking for a place to work, you need to make sure that you understand what kind of corporate values that company has and make sure that your personal values match up with that company's corporate values. Because if it doesn't, if your values don't match up with the corporate values, you're going to be at odds pretty soon on into the process and be very, very unhappy there. So, creating a business, Brooks, like that, with that kind of value system, I can see that's definitely a career success there. Now, My next question, I really wish I had your wife on the air because I'd love to ask her this question rather than you. So you need to make sure you're honest, because if you didn't sound like you're honest, I'm going to find her and ask her this question. What is your biggest weakness in the workplace? Let me put it that way. What's your biggest weakness in the workplace?
I will always be the last person to give up on you. And why I think that's a weakness is it takes a long time to build, the trust and the loyalty with someone, to where they're going to be honest with you. And that costs money. You know, I have a business partner and, he might, this isn't an actual situation, just so we're clarifying here for anybody that works with us. But okay. If there's a situation where, somebody is struggling or somebody is, not meeting an expectation, I'm going to want to continue to try and work with that individual and gain their trust and get to a point where I can help them. And sometimes people are willing to give up a lot earlier than I am. And I would say that's a big weakness. It's a strength, but it's also a big weakness because of the time and investment that you have to make.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with persistence, but sometimes the only way you can get out of a hole is to stop digging, right?
So correct.
Sometimes you're just trying to persist in the wrong direction. I had a guest on the show several weeks ago now. And he liked to say, sometimes I'm just too stupid to quit. So I guess I can see where that might be an applicable phrase right now. So,
right.
Now to give yourself some credit now, what would you say is your biggest strength in the workplace?
I'm a coach. There's a book that I'm a big proponent of. It's called Standout by Marcus Buckingham. And it's really a strength assessment that you do. And you learn about what your strengths are. And, at the end of the day, I'm a provider and a teacher. Those are my strengths. And what I think that really, what that tells you about me is I'm an investor and my currency is people. And the more I can get to know the people around me and help them build confidence in themselves, the more they're going to go out and help our company grow. And I think that, that's what my strength is really helping people believe in themselves and do things that they maybe don't think that they can do on their own. So it feels fantastic when you start to see the wheels turn and then move in that direction.
This is kind of a little off, kind of an offshoot of what you just said. I want you to imagine for just a second that you're sitting down with one such person and kind of give us an example without, of course, giving names or specifics, how you've helped redirect someone or teach someone about how they can do something better for their, I tell you what, let me be a little bit more specific. Can you tell me a time where you've actually been counseling with someone about their career through the hiring group or even one of your previous job where they were on the wrong path and you were able to help them see how to find the right path for their career? Do you have such a story like that?
I would say at my previous employer, every recruiter that worked up underneath me, I would say did a fantastic job. They eventually were approached by all the other account managers because they knew that they were dependable. They knew that they were going to be able to find the best candidates for the open jobs that they had. And so when you get yourself in that situation where you are able to train people to that level, you're going to have a company that's going to have someone that's struggling. And I was given the opportunity to try and help someone that had been working with a different account manager. And this person joined my team and I began to coach with them. And it was very clear to me after, a few months that this person was in the wrong career, period. And, they probably, the company I work for probably wouldn't want me to steer this person to what they should be doing, but that's what I did. I sat down with him and I said, hey, what do you really want to do? And he wanted to be a football coach. And to this day, he is a football coach. He went to be a high school football coach. Then he moved into the college ranks and he's slowly, growing his responsibility, in bigger and better programs. And so I would say that that would be my best example, is that sometimes I go into work and I know I hire somebody, and I might not hire that person. I might find out after I hire that person that they're in the wrong place, and I have no problem trying to help someone get to the right place at the hiring group. And I think that all companies and all managers, if they want to get the most out of an individual, it's by really helping them. It's not by pushing them to do something that isn't something that they were put on this earth to do.
You know, you mentioned earlier in our talk that you're an investor and your currency is people. I think what you just gave a lot of people who have oversight of others, whether as a manager in a business they work in or whether as an owner of a company like your own, that at the end of the day, we're here. Yeah, sure, we want our businesses to make money, but at the end of the day, on a grander scale, we've been put here on this earth by the Lord to make an impact on people's lives. And if you have a situation where you have an employee or someone like that where it's obvious to you and obvious to them that they're just miserable where they are, you have a human level responsibility to help them see that and to encourage them to pursue whatever God created them to do. And in this guy's case, be a football coach. He had that passion, obviously had the skills, or he wouldn't be moving up the ranks. And you had enough courage to help them see that. And that's a lesson that we all need to take, whether or not we have an opportunity to coach someone else or whether or not we have an opportunity to self-analyze where we are, that we're here to make an impact for people. And if we're not making an impact for people where we are now because we're miserable, then it's time to move on so we can be in a place where we can have the most impact on people around us from a position of strength, not one from misery. Do you think that's a pretty, would you agree with that statement, Brooks, as far as a takeaway from your story?
Yes, sir, 100%.
How about a business habit? If you have a different habit that you would label as a business habit, Brooks, that has helped you be successful in your career, what would you say that business habit is?
I don't think that you can teach people the same way. I'm always looking for how a person's minds work, how their mind works, and really what motivates him or her. And I would say that's a business habit that I always use, is you can't expect what you did with one person is always going to work with another. I like to get down in the dirt with people, seeing the world through their eyes, and ultimately try and understand their perspective in order to help coach and mentor the people around me. And that is definitely one of my business habits that I consistently adhere to.
Yeah, it reminds me of a book I read many years ago. You may have read it too, called The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People by the late Dr. Stephen Covey. One of his seven habits was seek first to understand, then to be understood. So yeah, that's exactly what you articulated right there with your business habit. How about a productivity tool? Do you have any kind of particular productivity tool, maybe internet-based, maybe not internet-based, that's helps you be more efficient and effective in the workplace?
I would say the tools that I predominantly use would be the phone, as simple as that sounds.
Yep.
In a world where everything is, you know, text or emailed or instant messaged, you know, it takes out all the personal touch. And so I always pick the phone up and I always call first. And some people think that, you know, you can get distracted and these kinds of things, but I would say for me, the phone, and that's a cell phone or a work phone or whatnot.